So he says, have a drink on the plane, in the airport, on the plane. He said, I'm not bothered how drunk you get. He said, but at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, you need to be in reception, ready to get on that bus. If your mate can't make it, he's in bed, grab him. And it were like a test. And don't get me wrong, the Villa games, yeah, they were intense. But I think just for the atmosphere and for us to get to a cup final being in the championship, I think that was frightening. But getting to it, obviously, I managed to score two goals. AJ, that when it bobbled over, Richard Wright's 14, brilliant, he put it in.
Well, to be fair, you should have had another one, shouldn't you? But when we spoke to Martin Grinder, he said, you're the only person he's ever beat.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm going to have him for that. Don't forget, I got him in the Premier League when he cocked up, but it went under his foot, and you and Robert scored. So I mentioned that as well. But now he did. I was running that way. I've watched it a few times. I was running that way, and he's running that way. And I'd have most probably missed anyway. All right, yeah, you. Yeah, yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, yeah. I've gone like this. Got Baby Spice. It's Scary Spice. And I've got, and they're the biggest thing in the world, the 1998, 1999, they're up there. Well, they still are now. And I've gone, oh my God, I didn't even have a mobile phone at the time. I'd got like a pager thing or something. I can't even remember what it was. So I couldn't go. All these selfies, all that, were absolutely gutted. Also been both games, that one in Villa Park, but for me to come on and get the third, I was the one that, when it run under Enkelman's foot, I was just going to chase him down. And then I turned back. If you watch on the video, I'm turning back. But I thought he's going to pick it up or he's going to eat it and boot it. And then I just heard Edmure cheer and look. And I still don't know if it touched him.
No,
it didn't. You can't see it.
Inconclusive, isn't it?
Oh, obviously, Villa fans are going to go, it never touched. And we're going to say, yeah, he did.
Morning, mate.
Hiya, mate.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all good. All wicked. Good.
So we put it later on in the thing, but yeah, we're going to start off with, have you ever had anyone do a Christmas song for you?
Never. And I loved it, to be fair. I've got a lot of Villa fan mates, if I'm brutally honest, and they're all going, oh my God, here we go, it's all about the horse again and all that. But no, it was fantastic, mate. I just think you need singing lessons.
You would not believe we had zero training for that, would you?
No, shit, no.
No classical training.
I understand that, yeah. But no, it were good. It were a good one. And you got loads of players in as well, didn't you, to be honest?
This is work. I can't take credit.
You must have done some work.
Every time I heard it over Christmas, I thought, Ryan, man, were you?
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
I hope it's all special because we're doing it.
Can't do it for any ever guests. Yeah. So just with down the Blues, in a season where Blues are chasing the playoffs, it feels apt to have you in. So what do you make of the club and the direction and the buzz about it?
Where it's gone, obviously, I think everybody was saying, like, we don't want to be relegated from the Championship to League One. And I always said that. I said that to Blues fans. I said, we don't want to go down because trying to get back up, you look at Man City, you look at the Leeds, look at them size and how long they stayed in League One. So I thought it were a mistake. I really did, but the investment that the club's made, the chairman, Wagner, he's put his money where his mouth is. He really has, I think. If you look at signing the Jay Stansfield, that set the standard straight away. Paying 15 million for a striker, a Premier League striker, to come out into the Championship. Do you know what I mean?
I think that'll stump us a little bit this year. You know, I think that the ambition of last year to do that, sign Stansfield,
yeah,
it's never going to get matched, is it? You're not going to down.
No, I think they look at it. He's some player. You give him the ball and his movement and everything. He works hard. And he's come from lower league. He's come from Exeter, gone to Fulham. And he's a great player. So he said, like I said, the club want to go places. They want to go where the opposite side of the city are, get to the Premier League. But I think it's been hard. I spoke to Devs about the manager. Said it'll be difficult for him in the Championship, which I know. I've played most of my career in the Championship, and it's a difficult division to get out of. There's some good players. Every team can beat every team. So it's going to be difficult, and I think we're just finding his feet. Like I say, it's just over the new year now, but we've got to push on. That's the thing we've got to do.
Yeah, yeah. So going back to you then, so football kind of wasn't straightforward early on. Tell us a little bit about your journey and...
From a young age, I think I didn't start playing till I was 10, 11 year old. A team called West Green. My dad just asked me to go and play football because I was starting to get bored as a young kid. Went down there and thankfully, I just found my feet straight away. I scored goals. I've never been prolific in my career, apart from under 11s, 12s and 13s, where I was scoring 80, 90, 100 goals a season. And I was playing under 11s Saturday morning, under 12s Saturday afternoon, under 13s Sunday morning, then under 14s Sunday afternoon. Right. Because I was doing well under 11s and under 12s. So that team wanted me to play for all day. So I was playing nearly four games every weekend. I did that for about 4 or 5 months and then I just hit a brick wall. Do you know what I mean? Barnsley then showed a little bit of interest. I went for trials. They said I weren't good enough. I knew I were. At 14, 15, going for an apprenticeship. My face never fitted in Barnsley. And everybody said, oh, would you ever want to play for Barnsley? And I said, no. I've just got a massive hate for, not the club and not the town. I'm proud of being a Yorkshireman, proud of being back from Barnsley. But just, I just hated that. They didn't take me on. But all I ever wanted to do was be a professional footballer. And they knocked me back. So my dad then said, listen, there's a local team called Athersley Rec. I was 13/14 at the time, playing in a men's league with 23, 24-year-olds. And that turned me into the player, what people see and the fans see.
Were you a big kid, though?
I was always tall, and then I just started filling out. And I can always remember the first session at Athersley Rec. Like I said, they're all 10 years older than me. They're all beer and everything like that, straight after games and after training. Don't forget, I was still going to school. So I was training on Tuesday and Thursday night in a school gym. And they were going on the drink. So, and the manager just said, he said, listen, you're going to have to look after yourself. And the first 3 or 4 tackles, boom, straight through me into the barriers. And they just kept picking me up, never said a word to me. And my dad told him to do that, said, don't give him no special treatment. Just kick him because he needs to be toughened up. And that's what set my stall out as for my career in football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you trained as a bricklayer.
Yeah.
Was that a mindful thing to go and get? What was the...
Yeah, again, me dad just said, listen, you don't know if you're going to be a footballer, you need something to fall back on. And going back to Athersley, all the lads were bricklayers, chippies, plasterers. They all worked in the construction. And one of my pals said, listen, come and be my odd carrier, do your apprenticeship bricklaying. And ended up being an odd carrier more than I did a bricklayer because they were 10 years older than me. We earned some decent money, but I qualified to be a bricklayer. So that set me in good stead as well.
Yeah. Because we've had the conversation on previous that how important it is to get into the trade, even at day and age. Don't kind of.
I think they're doing it in football. Don't get me wrong. As a professional footballer, I think even in non-league, they've got that much money. You get paid that much money now, even in League Two and League One.
Yeah.
Look at the wages that are going. Championship. Yeah. The average ones. £1 million a year in the championship.
Yeah.
They're on really, really good money. And they have the advisors, which hopefully they will have now, then they should do well for themselves. But I know a lot of players that are doing the accountancy, the all going into management and things like that. So you've got to think about the future.
Mm. You know, I saw the other day, it was in the papers, wasn't it? James McFadden's just gone voluntary.
Bankrupt.
£2.5 million.
Yeah.
Like, how easy was it at that time earning decent money that, did you have people that were coming in, sneaking around, getting you on these?
I've had it all. I've lost. I have lost a lot of money in properties and investments like everybody has. Steve Finnan, who played for Blues, went to Liverpool. Mm-hmm. He's just been declared bankrupt over properties in London. And when I was at Fulham with Steve Finnan.
Yeah, yeah.
And only because I've read it, I ain't spoke to him. But a lot of players, there's a lot of hanger-on in football where, oh, he's on good money. Let me get into him. Yeah, and I think a lot's to do with the agents. They're connected. The financial advisor connected to the agents. Right. So then they go there. So you've got faith in your agent. So then he says, go with him. And the agents will get paid off him.
Yeah,
so you don't know what's gone off and what they're doing now. But it's hard. It is hard.
Yeah. Football, isn't it? And I suppose you lived to your means. So McFadden was in the glory years, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was... Mm-hmm. You live to your means. Is it easy to kind of just go out and spank?
Of course it is.
You was a bit of a...
In the season, May and June,
yeah.
It's like, that's when you go on your holidays. So you go, I'm going to Jamaica then, and I'll go to Mexico, and now it's the new Dubai and things like that. So, and then you've got your missuses that a lot, I think it's 96% after professional footballers finish the career, they get divorced.
Yeah.
So it tells you a story, doesn't it?
Oh,
really?
Right.
Do they put up with a lot and then just think, there's no more money, I'm off.
Ray Parlour was the
final. Ray Parlour was the most famous one, yeah. So,
yeah,
it's difficult. It's difficult. And you've got to pick yourself back up and get a new career.
Yeah. So back then, you became something of a goal scoring legend at Halifax, didn't you? I was watching your goal compilations. Look at Omri, goal compilations.
No, you're not that good, believe me, I wasn't that good. But yeah, I enjoyed my time at Halifax. I really, George Mulhall and Kieran O'Regan, who played for West Brom, he was the player assistant manager. Loved it, loved Halifax. But that was hard work as well. I was training, I was working as a bricklayer Monday to Friday down in Darlaston, which is down here.
Shout out to the people at Darlaston.
Yeah, building a nursing home, two nursing homes to be fair. Setting off at 6 o'clock in the morning Monday, getting up, working 12 hours Monday, then Tuesday, working till about 3 o'clock and driving all the way up to Halifax to train on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Then driving all the way back, getting back to the digs at 12, half 12, getting back up for work Wednesday, doing it the same Thursday, and then Saturday going and playing non-league. So it was difficult, but people don't see that. They just think, oh, non-league, he's playing football, he's scored goals, he's going to get a move. But it was difficult, hard work, but I enjoyed it. I won't swap it for the world. It put me in good stead to work hard, and I always did that on the pitch. I always, even if I won't have been the best game, I'll always put shift in, and no fan can ever say, oh, he's lazy, he ain't put a shift in. And I think that's why I adhere to so many fans, because, like I say, I've always put a shift in. I've never been the best player in the world, never been the quickest, but I was pretty shifty.
Did you have that confidence then? Did you know you were going to make it?
Yeah. Funny story. When I was at Halifax, Brucey was manager at Huddersfield. Right. And when he came to Blues, he said, oh, I'm going to sign you. He said, but 350,000 was too much money. And that was in 1998. So Brucey had looked at me, a couple of other teams. So I know I was scoring goals. I scored 24 goals at Christmas, which were decent. It was decent. And
yeah, so what was it? You finish on 30 the season?
30 league goals. I think 34 goals in the season, which were decent. And he said he wanted to sign me, but it was too much money. So luckily for me, Kevin Keegan, he said it flicking through the TV, saw it on a sports channel, watched me, and the ball come across. I think I'd scored two goals, went for an header, knew I was going to get smacked in the face, scored the goal. Smacked all my nose, broke my nose, and I just picked the ball up and said three goals. So he just said, get him down and sign him. So loved it.
I was going to say, what was that like? Because you're a Liverpool fan, aren't you?
Liverpool fan through and through, only because I was born in 73 and in the 80s, so 8, 9, 10, 11 year old.
No one can blame me.
Ian Rush, Kenny Dalglish, Alan Hansen. Do you know what I mean? I was obsessed with Liverpool. I was obsessed with Ian Rush, goal scorer. That's where I wanted to be. So for Kevin to sign me, and I love playing for him. He's a great person. Not the great tactically, because he'd rather score five goals and concede four and win 5-4. But as a striker, he'd take us away sessions two and three times a week and just drill us with sessions. So he were brilliant. He were really good.
Mm-hmm. Was it one of those things, like with Trevor Francis down there in training? Was it a bit of a pain in the arse that he was like...
He didn't really train with us much. He never really trained. He always thought he were brilliant, but he were never as good as Trevor, because Trevor was unbelievable. On the training picks, Trevor, he was a different breed. He was.
Mm. So let's fast forward to the League Cup final.
Mm.
Tell us about it. Is it surreal? Was you calm?
Yeah, of course it was. I think the memories I've got more than the cup final is the semi final. Played at Ipswich. We were 1-0 down. I think we were. One with Sonna. Did Sonna give a penalty away?
Yeah.
I think he gave a penalty away. Sonna. 1-0 down. And they were fourth in the Premier League, I think, fourth or fifth. It's got some good players. And then they had to come here. And then if you saw the state of the pitch, which Trevor's genius, he went to the groundsman, don't roll it, don't do anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said, don't touch the pitch. Because they were a passing team.
Yeah, yeah.
And Portman Road were like carpet. And they passed the ball well. They passed off the path the first game. But the second game, I think it's the atmosphere's...
We say, as a fan, it was ridiculous.
I think it's better than the first Villa game, if I'm brutally honest. That's how good the second game, the Ipswich game, was. I really believe
that. As a fan down here, it's just...
It was unbelievable.
The whole place was moving, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was rocking.
Yeah, well, obviously the changing rooms there underneath, it's just doing that. Mm. It was just frightening. Don't get me wrong, the Villa games, yeah, they were intense, but I think just for the atmosphere and for us to get to a cup final, being in the Championship, I think that was frightening. But getting to it, obviously, I managed to score two goals. AJ, that when it bobbled over Richard Wright's 14,
brilliant.
He put it in.
Well, to be fair, you should have had another one, shouldn't you? But when we spoke to Martin Grinder, he said, you're the only person he's ever beat.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm going to have him for that. Don't forget I got him in the Premier League when he cocked up, but it went under his foot. Ewan Roberts scored. So I mentioned that as well. But now he did. I was running that way. I've watched it a few times. I was running that way and he's running that way. And I'd have most probably missed anyway. But yeah, the atmosphere after that was, it were electric. It was electric.
And going back to what you said about the pitch, that Richard Wright thing is obviously an absolute masterstroke.
Yeah, of course it was. Yeah, and I think that was last minute one anyway. But
yeah,
I think that just icing on the cake. But to get to the cup final and play Liverpool, it was just a dream come true.
We spoke about it to John McCarthy week, and he just said, and it was still too soon. We should have.
You are David Ellery.
You haven't given Ellery yet.
And he reffed in the second Villa game. He sent the two Good Johnson and Dublin off in the in the Villa game.
Yeah. Some will say that was his way of making it up.
Most probably because I think if we wouldn't have got the first penalty, we'd have got the second. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And we'd have won it. Do you know? But it's what it. If it had been VAR, would have been in upper.
Yeah.
But it's one of them things to experience playing. With a roof shut as well, Jesus Christ, you couldn't hear from here to there. You couldn't hear people. You're like that trying to lip read because the noise.
I remember right at the beginning when it was "You'll Never Walk Alone" versus "Keep Right On."
Yeah, it's just like that's one of my favourite. They're both my favourite songs,
yeah.
aren't they?
Yeah,
being at Anfield, singing like, that. Oh, I'm like, That day is always "Keep Right On."
Yeah.
So just to rewind, then back to signing for Blues. You started, didn't you? You scored straight away, didn't you? So what was that like, stepping? What was that to you at the time? Was that a sideward step? Was it a step up?
No, I played the season before, if you remember. I played for Fulham with Stan Collymore up front. And me and him battered Jono and Percy. We absolutely tore the back four. I think it was Grange, Jono, Percy, Rowett. And we run moves around you.
That's not a bad back four either.
It's a good back four. Mm. Yeah. And we tore them to shreds. We went 2-0 up. I scored both goals. It wasn't Benno in goal, which I'm gutted about. Went 2-0 up, scored in the second half. And then I got booked, I think, for grabbing Rowett. He threw the ball at the back of my head. So I picked him up by the throat and threw him. I'd have been sent off in these days. Yellow card. And then the ball went down the line. And Jono's about to clear it, and I thought, got your ear. And I thought I was going to get the ball, missed the ball. He was too quick for me. Took him straight into the barriers. Red card. 2-0 up in me 20 minutes ago. And Stan scored the equaliser 2-2. Ended up finishing 2-2, but I could hear it. But getting sent off, walking past, you were horrible to me. Oh, my word, you were horrible. You just, the abuse I got called all the names under the sun, donkey, everything, pies thrown at me and all that. So I just, but I can always remember the atmosphere. When John Tigana said, listen, Fulham have come, Birmingham have come in for you. I always remember, I went, poof.
I fancy a bit
of that. I always like hostile grounds, West Ham's, the Millwalls. I could have played for them too, because I'd love to play for them. It's the fans. Like the Blues fans, hostile. If you're not in their team, they're hostile and horrible to you, which I love. So doing that,
I suppose it was none of that at Fulham, was that?
It was a family club, and there were no all this and aggression in the, like on the sidelines or all like that. Were not like that. But then obviously getting sent off, drawing, and then as soon as he said, I went, yeah, I'm going to come up. But they played me Birmingham. Karen and Trevor and the chairman played me. They never took me to the training ground. They brought me.
Would that have been a deal, Brian? Yeah.
When I got there, yeah. They took me because they were starting pre-season, so they brought me here. I signed Edmund Medical here. And then we went straight to Perry Bar, dog track, because we were not dog track, the go on the running track.
Yeah.
Alexander Stadium, Alexander, sorry. Yeah. We went there because we were doing running and all that. So went there and then. A week and a half later, I think we were pre-season, and we went to the training ground. I think there were two or three showers working. There were no canteen. The pitches were poor. We used to eat across at, we used to call it Pukaf, across at the golfing place.
Brilliant.
They were all greasy food. It was just, I'd gone from non-league, being like that, going to Fulham, being spoiled. We used to train at the England rugby place in Roehampton. So we'd had all his meals put on, state-of-the-art gym. Then it was plunge pools and swimming pools. So I'd gone from Halifax to Fulham, and then going back to blues. And I went, oh my word.
Get wrote up your own art.
And then Trevor went, oh yeah, we changed it. Never did. We never did. But it was just one of them things. But after getting all that, I love the place. I really do. I've got an affiliation for Birmingham City Football Club. Always will have. Always will. And it's down to the fans. People always ask me, why are you a Blues fan? Because they'll always go, Blues or West Brom. Blues or West Brom, or Fulham or Leeds. And I say, it's just Blues. It's just something about the fans and the club that it attracts you. You see all the players that come and live in Birmingham, who play for Birmingham City, they all stay in the area. Yeah. Don't know what it is. Yeah. So people, they said friendlier up north, but I like Brummies.
You touched upon it earlier, that the kind of player you were is the kind of player that resonates with us as a fan.
Yeah, of course it is, yeah. The Grangers. Grangers, yeah. The Martin O'Connors.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Debsers. People like that wear their heart on the sleeve.
And we prefer playing well. And someone who's technically brilliant and light and lazy. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Put a shift in. Yeah. I don't really understand why everybody love Christoph here.
Wow.
Because he never put a shift. No. He was brilliant, Christoph. He was brilliant. I did, like I said, we'll forward to that with me running for him. But yeah, that's what it is. That's what this club's about.
Yeah.
And that's why sometimes when you come and watch the lads now on a Saturday, and I know the game's changed because you can't make one of these tackles and you can't be aggressive. Just show passion, run around and show that what it means to the fans that are paying your wages, going working 40 hours, bringing the kids on a football pitch. You know, that's all you've got to get in your mind. They're paying to watch me. I'm a professional footballer. I'm doing a job that I love doing. It's a hobby, but I'm getting paid for it. And be all in all, that's what it is.
And the game's changed now, where it's a 60 minute game for players, I think. Mm. You've got that much in the squad now with the sets and stuff. You run your knackers off. Yeah.
You look at the bench, half of the bench has been doubled in staff.
Yeah.
They've got they've got for analysis, they've got set piece coach, they've got dietitians and nutritionists, they've got everything. And if they can't perform on the pitch, if for 90 minutes on a Saturday, if they can't put the effort in, there's something wrong, and there shouldn't be a professional football. There shouldn't.
So you never really had any goal rights, did you, in your career?
Most probably because I never scored. No, I did. Like, going back to it, I never were prolific. I always, throughout my career, even when I was a young lad, I always scored important goals. It's just madness. Like, scoring at Halifax to get us promoted, then Fulham to get us promoted into the Championship, scored the goals there. Then Birmingham City, scoring the semi-final. Well, I scored again. I think it was Sheffield United that got us, when Brucey come in, got us into the playoffs. So we won 2-0. I scored the goal. Somebody, I think Munn scored as well, got us into the playoffs. And then managed to score in the final as well when we were 1-0 down. So
where would you stand with, like down here now, like you say, as long as you put the effort in, you try. So Kyogo down here at the minute.
Yeah.
He hasn't scored.
I feel sorry for him because when they signed him, I thought, what a player. Goals, some of the goals in Celtic. Yeah. Unbelievable. It's technique and everything. But again, it's going back. It's here. It's not here. It's here, obviously, because he's done it. And going 2 games and 3 games, and then he'll be reading the press. He'll be on social media. Everybody's going, oh, he's sending back. And then he brought on Sky Sports with Martin O'Neill. Are you going to take him back?
Yeah.
It's just going to work hard. As soon as these fans see him working hard and punny shifting, they ain't going to mourn that he's not scoring goals.
He's now getting chanted. When he missed the one-on-one, chanting his name.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what the fans will realise. If he puts a shift in, they can't question him.
It was a little bit easier for you. You scored on your debut?
I scored on my debut in pre-season against Oxford, a back heel, believe it or not. But my first game for Blues here, live on Sky against Fulham, my old team. I went through Mike Taylor, who's a good friend of mine, gone past Chris Coleman, one-on-one. I've slipped, and his knee has gone straight into my thigh, and I got a blood clot. So I were out for my first season. I were out for about 3 months.
Yeah.
So I only played about 25 minutes and got stretched off. And I was supposed to be my best mate's best man on the Saturday because he planned the wedding because we were playing on the Friday. And I couldn't go. We're in hospital. We had big hematoma on my thigh.
Bloody hell.
So I struggled the first season. I think I could never get fit because I'd done my pre-season, then I got injured. I couldn't get my fitness back. But I think the thing that got me back into it were the goals in the semi-final for Ipswich. So, yeah. Yeah, so I struggled. I struggled the first 3 or 4 months.
So going from Fulham, that's in on Under the Cosh, where you were talking about going out and what it was like coming from Barnsley to London.
Yeah.
Not having to put your hand in your pocket.
No.
Living like an absolute superstar.
Ridiculous. Absolute. I can remember sitting in the house on a Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday afternoon. I think it'd been snowing, something like that. So we'd not been training. Kieran rang me. He said, "Are you sitting down?" I said, "Yeah, yeah." He said, Kevin Keegan's going to ring you in the next 10 minutes. He said, "He wants to speak to you." I said, "I didn't even know who were manager." I said, "Kevin Keegan?" He said, "Yeah, Fulham we've accepted a bid." I said, "All right." So he rang me. He said, "Oh, will you come down?" He said, "We're going to send a car for you." So they sent a car, went down. I had a 2-day medical, which were at Harrods, because it were all fired. So it was brutal, all the mask on and running bloods.
Dentist, the running
everything. Yeah, everything. And then signed on the Thursday afternoon, trained Friday. Then on the Saturday, we're playing Walsall. Again, funny how it comes around. Walsall at home. I was sub. We were one apiece when we come on, when I come on, and we ended up winning 4-1. And then after the game, there were, at the time, were Kevin Keegan there, Paul Bracewell, Peter Beardsley, and Kevin Keegan. So all them lived in Newcastle, they're up north. So they asked me, they said, are you getting on the train with us? Because I were living in Barnsley. I said, yeah, I'm going to see my ex-wife and the kids and that. And then Chris Coleman pulled me and said, oh, listen, we've just signed Barry Ailes, Steve Finn, and I can't remember who else. We'd signed a couple of players. Said, oh, we're going on a night out. I'd not been paid then. So I was 2 weeks into the contract. So I didn't get paid till end of month. So I got about 200 quid in my pocket, like in my bank. I said, oh, cookie. I said, I'm going to pay for my train ticket. I said, so I need to get home. He went, nah. I said, well, think, no money. You don't have to pay. I said, what do you mean? He said, I'll show you. He said, I'll pay for you. And said, you give me back. I said, all right then. So I hadn't got any clothes here. So I've come back to the flat. I believe it was Steve Finnan at the time because he'd got a place down there. So I've got chains. I've got a denim shirt. I've got double denim, mate. Disastrous. Could get a picture now and I'd be a laughing stock. White socks and black shoes. I looked all right. Idiot.
John Bon Jovi.
Yeah. Yeah, I look stupid. So then it's going, oh, come on. So they all got taxes. So how much is the tax? No, it's all paid. So everything was paid for. Then we went to a place called Bad Bob's. Bob Geldof owned it. So we ended up seeing him in there. So it would just, everybody would just, Cookie went, Chris Coleman, call him Cookie. No, Chris Coleman, Kit Simons and Andy Melville, all three centre-halves. They were months, don't they?
They're all
Philip Albert, I will. Philip Albert. Philip Albert come to Fulham. Just, they're like this. And I could have a talk and they're like this. I said, oh, do we have to pay? He went, nice, everything's, don't worry about it. Don't worry, I'm thinking. I'm from York, by the way. I'm tight. I've got the tightest in the world. Go and get in there. So then we go to this other place called Sugar Reef, and it's the best. It's the top bar in London at the time. So I'm sat there, and Cookie went, oh, do you want a champagne? I went, didn't even know what champagne was at the time. I said, oh, a glass of champagne. I went, no, just get me a pint of lager, Cookie, or a bottle. I said, I'm not having all that. So a pint of lager. And we sat in this bar. We're in the VIP area. So we've gone straight downstairs. Thing open. Love it. Don't forget, I'm from Barnsley. There's just pubs in Barnsley. Working men's clubs. There's none of this. There's none of this VIP stuff.
Yeah, neon lights. Where's your dartboard?
I'm walking. There's models all over the shop. There's Ekpo, the footballers that, I don't forget, I've just signed, I've seen on telly. Didn't realise I'd gone from there to there. So then we're all sat down and all the lads at the bar and sat on this like mushroom stool. So all the, we sat there and then there, then there. So all of a sudden, I'm sat with a pint of lager like this, and I'm drinking, and then I've gone like that. Like, this is bird at time. Hey, all right. Yeah, yeah. You? Yeah, yeah, I'm all good. And I've done this. I had a drink of it, and I've gone. All right. Yeah, you? Yeah, yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, yeah. I've gone like this. Got baby spice. It's scary spice. And I've gone. And they're the biggest thing in the world. The 1998, 1999, they're up there. Well, they still are now. Then I've gone, oh, my God. I didn't even have a mobile phone at the time. I'd got like a pager thing or something. I can't even remember what it was. So I couldn't go. All these selfies, all that, were absolutely gutted. So I've spotted in the Liz Early coming, Mick Hucknall coming. It was just ridiculous. We did everything were free. I've got still, I've got a cookie. He went, yeah, yeah, they're always in here. He said, so the manager of Sugar Reef, he was called Matt Fuller, Simon Fuller's brother. Owned the Spice Girls, and I think, I don't know, they owned some bands and all that since. And then Matt Fuller come, Matt Fuller fund. Jeff, anytime you want to come in here, look good if signed, blah, blah, blah. Anytime you want to come, because there were restaurants upstairs, food's on me, beer's off. I'm like this, I'm getting there. So my life changed from that. Woke up Sunday morning, well, got in Sunday morning, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, woke up, had a bit of breakfast. I'm like that, dialing the phone, ringing my mates up in Barnsley. Guess who? No, you never. I said, I'm being serious. I've been sat with him. And it was surreal. And my life just changed like that. Just crazy.
Absolutely. So is that why sometimes when you go...
You've lost in 12 months. I never went home. That if we'd just gone... Me and my ex-wife, we'd just gone different ways and she understood, so just crazy.
Yeah, you went Sugar Reef. She never.
Yeah, she never. No, I want to get her there. No, but it was brilliant. It just opened my eyes and they were like, we were sponsored by Adidas. Well, the Fulham kit were Adidas. And Alan Bevan, the kit man at the time, just went, now that he had this catalogue. He said, oh, tick what you want, whatever you want, tick. So what do you mean? He said, oh, if you want stuff for your missus or your kids or whatever, just tick all your mates. So you little box and you go, Predators, Adidas tracks. Oh, like that.
Yeah.
Well, and then he said, oh, be in the house at whatever day, Thursday or Friday afternoon, it'll get delivered. Come, massive truck. Just filled me garage full of Adidas. Everything were free. I'm thinking, I'm loving this. Absolutely loving it. And I did really well at Fulham.
Yeah.
I'd signed a contract, Kevin Keegan, and it was on par with my Halifax contract. It were on par. But I got a bit more signing on fees. But I was living down London, so oh, more or less on less money because it cost me that much to live down there. And he just said, listen, if you do well, he said, I'll rip it up and I'll double your contract. And I will. And I think after 8-10 games, he pulled me in the office. I'd scored. I was flying. I played, I think the fourth game, I played Tottenham at home. Sol Campbell and Perry, what, centre-halves, or England centre-halves. I ripped them to shreds. We won 3-1. They were oldest, knocked them out of the cup. Tottenham showed interest in me. And Kevin Keegan just went, listen, you think you've done well? I said, and I was like, oh, like that. Or like a little mouse in front of him. I was like, yeah. And I didn't want to talk to him. I was such in awe of him. And he just went, here, there's a new contract there. I've doubled everything. I've gave you, signed it. So, crazy. But I loved it because we, like every month, end of season, we had a player's player of the month. So you had to vote. So Steve and Jeff Horsfield, Chris Coleman. And then they'd draw it out. And then you either had, at the end of the month, a Ferrari, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Or you could go top of Harrods, take your family for a meal, drinks and everything. So that's what Alfie did for us. Every month he did that. So it was a different world.
So you can see all people signed there and stayed there.
Lovely club. And Alfie looked after us. He proper looked after us and the players proper looked after us.
So what was the pull coming here then?
You know,
just because
about Birmingham, no.
Yeah. They took me Harrods card. I used to get 25% off Harrods. I couldn't afford to go in there anyway. Now it would just John Tigana come. He did a good swap too. He signed Louis Saha for 2 million and sold me for 2.75. And Louis Saha scored 35 goals in the championship, went on to Man United. John Tigana just pulled me. We were down at Nigel Mansell's place in Plymouth pre-season and he just pulled me and just went, listen, Birmingham have come in for you. And we've accepted an offer. So I spoke to my agent. And obviously I'd known, played against all that. I said, yeah. I said to my agent, I said, yeah. If he don't want me, I'm going. So signed straight away and then found out John Tigana had said I was too aggressive for his style of play. I don't know where he got that from, mate. That's what he said. But listen, it is what it is. I didn't want to leave Fulham at the time because I've got some good friends there and all that and it were a good club, but as soon as Birmingham came in, I wanted to sign straight away.
But you've never bumped into the Spice Girls in around Broad Street?
No, they've never been on Broad Street or all like that, no, never. So, but like I said, when I signed for Birmingham, when I went to Alexander Stadium, the first time I went in, obviously all the lads were now late because I'd signed, so I walked in and obviously Trevor introduced me and I shook everybody's hand and all that, and then there was space there and it was, funny enough, it was next to John, I won it, Mike for Johnson. So I sat there and I've just, I just shook his hand and he shook my side. Right, also, and yeah, he went, glad you're on my side. we've all been good close pals, me, him and Jono. Debs as well. I know Debs is really good pals with me from Notts County, but
yeah.
Jono, he's a great lad, Jono. Loved him. Loved him to bits.
So from obviously having a bit of a difficult first season, next season was a little bit better, wasn't it?
Yeah. Obviously, Trevor, I can't remember when Trevor got sacked. It was before Christmas.
Oh, I don't know, you know.
I can't remember. Can't remember when he got sacked.
I think Bruce came in January.
I think the players didn't down tools, and it's hard to say, but we didn't perform for him. As a person, I love Trevor to bits. He signed me, brought me to the club. But he wasn't the manager that I wanted him to be. For having a bad game the first half, I want him to come in at half-time and go, come on, you're off. I'm telling you, you need to do this, you need to do that. It got, oh, you're playing well. But that was his kind of management. He was too soft in a way. He wanted to please everybody, which didn't work for everybody. But when Brucey come in, I loved him. I love working under Steve. I really did. I enjoyed him.
He's a similar player to your ilk as well.
Yeah, he was from Man United, he's from the old school. Loved the beer, knew when that we'd got a squad. I think he knew the squad were good enough. It was just him getting us fit. And the first day he come in, I think it was, we'd got an international break. And he come in and said, oh, we said, hands up, who's going away? Lads with their wives and all that. And about five or six put their hands up. It went, well, in a minute, good it forms, cancel it. Because you ain't going anywhere, you're training. And he trained us for about 5 days. He run us into the ground. Did all the math, they call it the W run. So you'd start off at the corner flag, go to the other corner flag, go to the halfway line, go to that corner flag, and then go to that corner flag. And as soon as you'd finish, you'd got 30 seconds and you did it again, and you kept doing it six times, and he got us fit, proper fit. But after, he just went, listen, lads, I've worked hard. I think he gave us a few quid and said, listen, go and enjoy yourself, go and have a meal, have a drink. He said, back. I think that were on the Thursday or the Friday, see you Monday for normal training. And he did get us fit. He did. Mm-hmm. And he changed it.
Did you feel like you needed that?
We did need it. Yeah. We did need it. We'd, like I said, not down tools, but we weren't working as hard as we should have been. We'd gone stale. We had gone stale, same voice, and it needed a change.
Well, it showed that it didn't need a change then.
Yeah, it didn't need a change. I think he came in for the last 12, 13 games because he got put on Gardner's leave, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we had, who come in? I can't remember who come in. Somebody come in? I don't know.
Was it interim?
I don't know if anybody come in. I think it might have been Boz.
Hope Jason Bowen.
Jim Barron were there.
Yeah. Jason Bowen with it, yeah.
So maybe. So I think that, I don't know, worrying, but when Brucey come in, we went up a level, kept you tight at the back. And everybody wanted to play for him, though.
Because we were always the bridesmaids before that, weren't we? We were always the bridesmaids before that, weren't we?
We spoke to John McCarthy the other day. He was symptomatic of that team, wasn't he? Nearly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that's what he was saying when he went, then Devlin came in, then Steve Bruce has the change, and then his big regret was not being part of that.
You look at that team, the championship, when Brucey come in, I compare us to that, and no disrespect to the players that are on now, I think we'd beat them every time. I think we'd have too much in here to start with. Don't get me wrong, some of them are technically better than us, but I think we've got a good camaraderie. We've got a good team spirit, a proper good team spirit, and we're all in it together.
Mm. Which leads into the Villa game.
Yeah.
The Villa games, shall we say?
Oh, madness. I think getting promoted and me scoring the goal and then... obviously, support the Cats as well in getting for him to get the winning penalty. What I wouldn't have wished it. I'd have rather it been him than me. I honestly believe that it was just fate for him. For him to do that, 17-year-old.
But she's still on, mate, for extra time.
No, they must probably not took a penalty anyway.
They
must probably bricked it. Debs always says that. He went, you would have took one anyway. I never took one though. I run myself into the ground like I did in the cup final. I'd gone, my legs had gone and everything, and Brucey just went, come off, and I think he put AJ on, so he put something, I can't remember who he put on. Mm. But now, for Cats to score, it must be phenomenal.
Such a lovely guy.
Oh, yeah, it's different class, isn't it? Mm. Different class. Mm. Too nice a guy for me. I always said to him, I said, you could have been, like, top player. 6 foot two, bit of that, and didn't really have it, but he still did well. He come to West. I went West Bromwich as well.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, West Bromwich. But now, I think going into that first Premier League season, we played. I'd got done for stamping on Matthew Lawrence in the second semi-final, so I had to go down London with Brucey for a hearing, and they were going to ban me for first three games, and I was devastated because I wanted to play.
Yeah.
And they fined me, and I got away with a ban. And his first game were Ivory were. And that's going to a different level. I can remember being in the tunnel, and there's like me, there's Devs, there's Moons and all that, Benno and or Nick Orbison, and you're just looking at them, and all these Henri 6'2", this Vieira 6'2", Keogh, and this, you're just looking
at absolutely Adonis is like
beasts, and you're just looking thinking, how are we going to compete? And to be fair, Nico, it was Nico in goal. He let one slide through his fingers after about 40 minutes or something like that. Mm. And we held his own. We did touch the ball much, but it was just different experience. You just thought, different level this. Different level.
We spoke to Grange and he just said he didn't think that he didn't think it'd be that hard just getting around and just getting around the pitch. And
just passing the ball. The ball, they made the pitch huge.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how they did it. Well, because they're good players and they find space. Mm. And it was difficult, me running up front, just chasing everything.
Kind of get near them.
Get near them, they were a different level. But a great experience, absolutely great experience. But then going to it, obviously in September, the Villa game, leading up to it for 2 weeks. And me signing, I didn't realise, obviously because we'd never played them, didn't realise how big he was. I know you'd heard, this on the Villa and all that, but until the game come, you come, and for them to put it on a Monday night at 8 o'clock, Jesus, what were they thinking? And then they did the second game as well.
I don't know.
So, but for me to play in it, and I was disappointed because I was sub in both games, that one in Villa Park, but for me to come on and get the third, I was the one that, when it run under Enkelman's foot, I was just going to chase him down. And then I turned back. If you watch on the video, I'm turning back. But I thought he's going to pick it up or he's going to eat it and boot it. And then I just heard Ed Murray cheer and look. And I still don't know if he touched him.
No,
he didn't. You can't see.
Inconclusive, isn't it?
Or obviously, Villa fans are going to go, never touched. And we're going to say, yeah, he did. Simple as that.
It was his reaction, though, if he was a
if he'd have just
clever
gone,
car and
no, gone. I ain't done it.
Yeah,
it
we know the
rules. That. The game was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But fantastic game. The atmosphere, again.
Did you ever see him in
saw him before. No.
Nothing. No. The haunted look in his eyes, especially the second game.
I know, yeah.
And I was watching it earlier, where he came out, didn't he, two-handed. And he
would
never.
I think it would have 60-40, 70-40, 70-30 to him.
Yeah. Yeah, the two hands, didn't they? But he didn't want your boots, so he closed the hands, did he?
No, he didn't want it. But that again, I were on the bench. Me and Devs were on the bench, and we said, oh, come on. And that you could, behind the tunnel, the banging on it, they just wanted to kill us. They really did. I can remember we sat on bench, me and Devs, and we sat there watching the game. You could hear this, yeah, this, yeah, that. And all of a sudden, I've gone out like that. And I've turned around like that, and there's this bloke, his neck's that big, it's already he's gone to me. And I've gone, oh, Devs, I said, come on, we'll warm up. So we started warming up. We got everything thrown at us. And like we're bending over, stretching, and like looking, and we're just getting proper dog abuse. But we enjoyed it, me and Devs. Obviously, Devs is from here, and he's like proper Harden Blues fan. But we just loved it. We absolutely loved it. And for me to come on, I think Dublin had got sent off before I come on. I think he did, yeah. And then I come on, nearly scored the first goal when Stan scored, the header. And then managed to, like you say, race down an ankle.
Because it was J-Lord Samuel, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, God bless him. Yeah, he headed it back, didn't he? And it went up in the air and just took it off him. But for me to score at the alt end as well, do you know what I mean? Not that goal, but the alt end, it was brilliant. And I've got a lot of Villa mates, and sometimes we'll be in the pub and the snooker club and all that, and it'll come on Sky Sports. They just walk out of the room. So see, look, like that. So it is nice for me. It is nice. And then I ended up going in goal as well, which were ridiculous. Absolutely mad. And I always remember Nico taking the goal kick or the kick, and you could see his knee gone, and he's put his hand up. And I always remember Brucey, I've gone down, and Brucey's gone, ask Matty if he wants to win goal, you'll have to go centre-half. Because I played centre-half at Old Trafford and Leeds United, because we've got no centre-half. And I played when I was younger at centre-half. And I went to Maya, I said, are you getting caught of me? He went, well, do you want to? I said, oh, no, I'm not bothered. And I can't remember what conversation was. And I ended up in. So I said, oh, I'm assuming, I've said to him, you stay centre half in your position, I'll go and go. So obviously Nico stretched it off. So I've got to go and get the goalkeeping top off Benno. So, and Benno, he's like that compared to me. I've got shoulders like that. And I've got big hands and he's got small hands. So he's gave me my shirt. I've put the shirt on. It's down here. It's really baggy. And then I've put the gloves on. I've gone like that. And my fingers are, and I'm going. And I'm pulling them like this. And I felt like Kenny Everett. I'm going like that. I'm like Kenny Everett. And I said to him after, I said, Benno, why have you wear your gloves so big? I said, I thought they'd be tight. And I felt really uncomfortable in both. I preferred being tight.
You wore it well.
Yeah. And for me to keep a clean sheet, they were down to 9 men as well. So I think there were 2 corners.
He did pull off one or two.
I think I dove left and all that wanted to be free. But it was still daunting. I should have, in hindsight, I always think about it, I should have turned around because there were Blues fans behind me and I should have had a bit of a laugh. I should have done like a gamble or a roly-poly or just started messing around. But it was just, if they'd have got one, maybe they'd have got 2. So
yeah.
Thankfully we got 3.
You imagine that was your legacy?
Yeah, I know, yeah. Let him through him. I wouldn't have been doing this now, would I?
So
after the game as well, we've gone up and obviously Bruce is, well, the thing was Sav had a bit of a bust at Dublin, hadn't he? And he's got a bit bigger, Sav, now. I've seen him on the telly, must have been on the weights. We were like a lat.
It's all that vegan food, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, he's all into the vegan stuff and all that, and he's Sav. So I can always remember, we went in the tunnel, and when you go into the tunnel at Mill Park, the steps going up, and they're a big deal, and he just got his Under Armour like cycling shorts on and nothing else. And Sav was bricking it. He went, oh, no, you've got to look after me, aren't you? You're all got to look after me. And he was stood at the top. And there wasn't a bit of scuffle, and somebody thingied Dion up, got him back into the changing rooms and all that. But it got blown off. But it were after Villa Park. We were there with Brucey, and he's obviously buzzing and all that. And me and Dev's always used to get changed next to each other, so we sat there and... we're always going at this. Have a beer. Yeah, we've got to have a beer after this. So we're having a beer. So we're all trying to plan things. None of others wanted to go out. And Bruce went, right, brilliant, lads. Monday night said, I'm going to give a couple of days off. Tuesday, Wednesday, see you back Thursday. I think we're playing Sunday again. So gave brilliant result, lads. Done it. Done the double and all that. You two do not be going out tonight. Me and Debs, because he knew we loved the beer. Do not be going out. And we're going, no, we're going here and all that. So we got changed and all that in his tracksuits. So we went back home, got changed. We were going, might as well go Broadstreet, might we? So we end up Broadstreet. Don't know why. Because we could. But then again, we most probably thought, there ain't going to be any Villa fans there.
Yeah.
So I could have been all Blues, celebrating and all that. And it were. Every pub we went in, get a beer, lads, shots, get a beer, all this. Ended up. Got to about 6 o'clock in the morning. We're going, where are we going? So Dev's newly played. I knew Broad Street, but...
I was going to say, I was at the Tap and Spa.
I couldn't tell you where we ended up. But we're in Aussie Bar. There were a living room, Aussie Bar, sports bar, all that end. Mellow, Studie Baker's, but that was shut. And then we ended up walking, saying, we'll go through the market. So when walking through the market, they're all getting the fish ready and the meat ready and all that, stinking, walking, going, these people booing us, Villa fans, these people cheering us, Blues.
Polar opposites.
Walking in, and we could end up in the makeup.
So we're dying off camera, weren't
we? I know, sat there, drink. We've got obviously no picture phones or all that. And I think we must have left at 7:30 in the morning, me and Debs. And it was just brilliant. No, we did get in no trouble and all that. And I could always remember... Thursday morning goes in for training and we're doing the warm-up and all that, and Bruce is not looking at it, but he's running. He used to warm-up with us, running around the track and all that, and he went, what did I tell you to? I went, what, Gaffer? Well, you went out Monday, didn't you? And we just got, and we were just about saying no, and he went, done, I know you've been out. He went, good night, lads. Where would you go? And you were absolutely sad. Well, it were brilliant with us. Yeah, it were brilliant.
What did you make when you went to Villa?
Strange.
McLeish had broke the taboo before that.
But a lot of people didn't like Bruce. He got rid of people, and he, when I left, I didn't want to leave. Oh, gutted. Absolutely good. But he signed Mikel Forsell, and he just said to me, he said, listen, you ain't going to play. You're going to be on the bench. If them two are fit, you're not playing. I said, all right. I said, well, I think I was 32. Just turned 32 at the time. I said, well, I ain't seen on bench picking my wage up. I said, I want to play. Nicky Eden had gone to Wigan.
Yeah.
Spot to Paul Jewell. Went up there. And I were only there 3 months. Done well up there as well. Scored 10, 12 goals, 14 appearances, got to top of championship. We played West Brom at home. We were second, they were top. We beat them 1-0, I scored. And Mego pulled me and just went, listen, do you want to sign for West Brom? I said, well, travelling up and down M6, 2 hours there, 2 hours back.
I was going to say, it was you based around it.
Yeah, I still were based in Sutton. And I just said, yeah, I said, I'd love to sign. So then I went and signed for West Brom, and Blues got relegated that season. It's a thing we got promoted. No.
We went down West Brom and I didn't know.
That's what it was, yeah. Yeah, I think that's what happened. So, but he always said when we, but then season after, we played Blues at West Brom. I scored 2, we lost 3-2. Eskie scored the winner. He always said, he said, got rid of you too soon. Also, he said, he always told me and Devs, I used to go to bed on a Friday night with a team that got promoted. And half of that season in the Premier League, I go to bed on a Saturday, at Friday night, knowing I was going to get a shift Saturday. With this team, I don't know if they're going to turn up or they're not going to turn up. Individuals. And he always said that. He said he broke it up too soon.
That's, yeah.
Which is fair play to, we were honest. And
He was trying to do this.
I get what he was trying to do, next level. He brought all them in. And fair play to him, he did. Do you know what I mean? But
being big down one few, yeah.
I was gutted. I did want to leave, but
another manager though. Other managers may have just said, "Oh, let's keep you around," and then you are rotting on the bench.
So good guy changes. I was good. Yeah. I'm a people's person, which I'd always get people going with it. We're not just saying that, but going on nights out and having banter in the changing rooms and on the training pitch and all that. I'm always good around the changing room. So, but I should have maybe in hindsight gone, "Nah, I'm sticking around."
How long did you have left on contracts that time?
2 years.
Yeah.
I signed 5 years and a 2-year option. I signed 7 years.
Are you ahead of your time, Chelsea?
Yeah, 5 and 2-year option.
Trailblazer.
Yeah, I know. But I just wanted to play football. Just wanted to play football. But I will go to, because I've got some good pals, really good pals down here.
What was your time at West Brom like then?
Love West Brom. Again,
I've got a few friends who are West Brom, and I think you're a legend.
Again, scoring important goals. When I were in the Championship, we played Cov, beat them 2-0, got promoted into the Premier League. And then that was Gary Megson. And a lot of people don't like playing under Gary Megson. I loved him. You were intense, not massively tactical. As long as you run your socks off and gave 100%. You're in his two.
Oh, I think,
yeah, and I'll
yeah, even with Marmo, West Brom.
Yeah, I was perfect for him. I was perfect for him. Always put a shift in, so he loved me.
Yeah.
And then we got promoted to the Premier League. I think he struggled. We struggled. And Brian Robson come in, and we managed to do the only team that got promoted from. Stopped up at Christmas. We were.
That's when Carts come in.
Yeah, we were 12. Really? 12 points adrift. Yeah, Carts come.
I think you had the young lad from Man United as well. Was it
Kieran Richardson?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we managed to beat Arsenal. Darren Carter scored a worldie top corner. We won 2-0. We brought Kevin Campbell in, God bless him. He come in. Kieran Richardson come in. Steve Watson come in from Everton. So we got some good experienced players. Brian Robson come in. He then took us to Orlando. He come in. We were international break, and then he said, listen, it's got us all in a big circle. He said, lads, he says, international break, we've got 12 days off. He says, hands up, if you want to take your missus away, or you want a lad strip. So everybody's got, lad strip, that's what he got. He went, well, we're going to take you to Spain or Portugal, a bit of golf. He said, but paparazzi might be about, they might see you drinking with bottom of the league. Don't really want that. He said, we're going to train, but you can have a few nights out. So he said, we're going to Orlando. We've gone Orlando, America. So this is March, the season break in March. So we've gone for 6 days. So he's gone to us. He said, listen, he said, I'll send you right. Because some of the lads were under the foot. So they weren't allowed to go on lads' trips, holidays or anything like that. So they've gone, oh, Gaffer, what about us missus and all the petrified of the missuses. So I think one was Jonathan Greening. And he said, Brian said, Gaffer's gone, right, listen, I'll send an itinerary out to your house. So he's got an itinerary. Meet at Manchester Airport. We're training this day. We've got a game this, game that and all that.
So it's gone. Made up like a black itinerary.
Yeah, made a black. Well, we didn't know that at the time. We'd gone.
This is crap.
Oh, we've got a game. Oh, we've got this and got that. So we've got to the airport and he's gone, get your sheet. Yes. Boom. Straight in the bin. Brian Robson, I loved him at Man United. I obviously a Liverpool fan, but Brucey, Brian Robson.
And he was a lad, wasn't he?
Oh, he was brilliant. Going off at a tangent, he's coming to the club after Metzen got sacked, and he said, I want to see every player individually. So he's gone, Corey, he said, oh, you're in. So I've walked in the door, and he shut me out. I went, all right. I said, oh. He went, anything, boss, Gaffer. I'm easy. I went, all right, Gaffer. He went, shut me out. He went, you can have a beer, can't you? I went, what do you mean? He went, spot to Brucey yesterday. He says, I know I can hang my hat on you. Said, out on the pitch, off the pitch. He said, I don't really need to see you. He said, I've had everything off Steve. He said, just keep doing what you're doing, mate. He said, we'll get on fine. And that were it. And I just went, I'm having you, by the way. So then he takes us to America, throws the itinerary in. He says, right, we've got, I think with time difference, we're like 22 hours. So he says, have a drink on the plane, in the airport, on the plane. He said, I'm not bothered how drunk you get. He said, but at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, you need to be in reception, ready to get on that bus. If your mate can't make it, he's in bed, grab him. And it was like a test. So we were half paralytic, got on the bus. He said, right, we're going training. So the Nigel Pearson, who were brilliant, Uncle Nigel used to call it. So he was the bad cop. Gaffer was the good cop, he was the bad cop. And we got to Orlando, we've gone to this sports facility, he's got the balls out, we've done a big circle, we keep the ball two in the middle and all that. Gaffer's hammered, by the way. He's hammered, right? But we're passing it like that. Somebody's megged him. We've done this, they're gonna get megged him. He's not, I've done. Wait, Nige, come back in and all that. We've done that for about half an hour, done some crossing and shooting, went back on the bus. That's all we did for 6 days. We just went out, drinking, just having the crack and all that. Come back, beat Arsenal 1-0.
I was going to say.
Beat Everton. And then the penultimate game, we went to Old Trafford. We were 1-0 down. I've gone through. I've gone past, I think it was Van der Sar. It was somebody, might have been. Come, and I thought, I'm going to miss it. So I thought, I'm falling over. I just went, penalty at the end. And then Ernie come in, scored. But we needed that point. Robinson. To have any chance of stopping up. We drew 1-1 at Man United. So we got that. And then the game, we were against Portsmouth. So we were bottom. Norwich were playing Fulham. They'd got to get beat. Charlton were playing Crystal Palace. And who were the other one? There were another one. Can't remember the other one. So AJ and Brian Hughes. AJ were playing for Palace. Brian Hughes were playing for Charlton. My ex-teammates at Blues.
Yeah.
Hughes, he ended up scoring for Charlton. Then AJ got the penalty to keep them above West Brom. And then Jonathan Fortune, he's passed away as well. He scored it to equalise to a piece. Norwich were getting beat 6-0. So we had to win. And I were on the bench again. So again, both Villa games. That's why all my Villa mates call me bench warmer, because I were always on the bench. So I come off, I were having a wee at the side of Brian Robson at half time, and I said, I said, put me on. And that's what I said to it in his book. I said, put me on, so I'll score. So he's put me on after, I don't know, 60 odd minutes, 62 minutes, put me up. I've gone straight on the pitch. There's a throw in at the far side, throw in, cross, volley, I score. Never touched the ball. 1-0. Set Kieran Richards up way back. Set him up way back heel. 2-0. So we ended up stopping up that.
I remember the celebrations. Was it that yellow kit?
No, it was the white kit we were in.
I remember seeing the celebrations.
And I can always remember. Obviously, I've still got pals that have got boxes here, and the gnome we got, and they were singing my name. And we were playing, but Blues were playing Arsenal at the time.
Brilliant.
Which were nice. So it was.
That's brilliant.
So I loved it at West Brom. So I'm also known for the greatest scapegoat.
Yeah, you're in the history books.
At West Brom, yeah. Yeah, so, like I said, never prolific. I was prolific at West Brom. I just scored important goals at important times. Just madness.
Super sub. You've never had super sub?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like to be known like that, but yeah, I don't know.
Like the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer of the Championship.
Yeah.
Got to say, though, watching like your goal reels and that earlier, where does the outside of the boot finish come from?
I don't know. I ain't a clue. What's probably because I can't use my left. I scored a quite a few
goals in your hole.
Yeah, there's some outside foot in there.
Quite a few little dinks as well.
Yeah.
Keeping the little dinks going.
Most probably because I'm not quick enough for the dinks. I can't use my left foot, my right, so I think that's the reason.
Who was
that's the answer anyway.
Who was the best striker or who was the best foil for you at Blues and beyond?
Do you know some? I've had some really, really good ones. Obviously, at Fulham, I had Karl-Heinz Riedler. He come to Fulham.
Wow.
Won the World Cup.
Yeah.
So, again, going back to it, Barnes, the odd carrier, Karl-Heinz Riedler, Christophe Dugarry. Do you know what I mean? Canu, West Brom.
Canu.
Do you know what I mean? So, but Christophe, I love Stern, love playing with Stern. We complemented each other. It's hard. Again, West Brom. I played up front with Uzi, and I was the target man. He was in behind. So, we worked well. I love playing with Dealey. Again, Dealey should have done better than what he was. Big, if he were a nasty man, Jesus Christ, he should have been. He should have.
He's had run-ins with him in over 35. He knows what a nasty man he can be.
What?
Yeah, Tommy's going to volley me over the fence.
Did he? He'll never do that. I'll say he'll never do it, Dealey. But
going back to Christophe, you was doing the running of both.
Loved playing with Christophe. Obviously, I had to do a lot of his work, but I was nowhere near his level. Again, he's played with Zidane. He's with Henri in France and everything like that.
Did you see in training that as well, was he?
Yeah, he was phenomenal. Everything. So he's not on the level of Messi, but if you watch Messi just stands still. He don't run there. He'll just stand still and get the ball. Christophe used to do it. He'd just go into spaces where we never knew to go. We'd have to run. And I didn't mind doing his running. I really didn't. And we complemented each other really well. So I did enjoy playing up front with him. I really did. But one of the best one, ability-wise, and Blues fans will hate it, Stan Collymore. I played with him at Fulham. He was phenomenal. He was 6'2", 6'3", big, strong, both feet, could edit. He just weren't ready mentally when he come to Fulham. He'd play unbelievable game, then a bad game. He wouldn't want to train. Then he'd be the best player in the training. So on that, him. But to play with Christophe, I loved it. I really did.
So just going back to away from football a little bit, 2008, being diagnosed with testicular cancer. Obviously, I think your football was in the balance then, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I've just left Sheffield United. I spoke to somebody at Walsall and Dean Smith, ex-Villa manager, he was doing the youth team stroke reserves. So I asked to just go and train. I didn't have a contract. Just asked to go and train, keep my fitness up in pre-season. Did well. And I was supposed to play. Oh, I played in a game the Tuesday. Did well. They'd offered me a contract. Wasn't on good day. It was just, at the time, I didn't know what I was going to do after football.
Yeah.
So I thought, getting a football, spoke to Dean and said, oh, I want to do my coaching badges, see where that works. I wasn't really interested in coaching, if I were honest. Never thought I'd have got into it. So went to Walsall, played well. They'd offered me a contract. I was going to sign it on the Friday. And then on the Wednesday, I was in the bath, just sat in the bath and found a little lump on my testicle. Said to my missus, I need to get these checked. She went, yeah, you said that last week. And it had grown a little bit. So I ran the West Brom doc up. Just said, listen, I need to come and see you. Can I come and see you Friday? Went and saw him Friday morning. Yeah, got it checked. And I knew his luck. He just went, said, oh, I'm going to send you to Booper this afternoon. Got my friends there. So I went in there. And he just said, oh, it looks like you've got testicular cancer. So rocked me world, mate, to be fair. I was fit because I'd not gone on holiday the May and June because I knew I'd not got a contract. I still wanted to play football. Still wanted to. So I was like, my body was like that. I was fittest I've ever been. Not drank all the way through the summer. And I was fit. And then all of a sudden, that comes. And it just hits you like a brick. Questions. And you hear people, why me? Why when I'm so fit? Luckily, I found it early, so I didn't have to have any treatment, just had it removed. And then just didn't feel sorry for myself, and I just thought my recovery were about two, three months with the operation, everything. And it was too hard to get back into football, so it was difficult.
Obviously, a lot mentally for you.
I'm mentally strong, if I'm honest. Not a lot of things bother me. But it were like, I thought more of my family, my kids. I'd got two kids at the time, aunt had my third. And just thought, if I die, are they going to survive? Are they? And that's all that went in my head, not me. I won't bother about me. I'd had a good life through what I'd done through football and all that. Yeah, maybe I'd have gone too early, but I won't in the equation, it was my family. So, but managed to get through it. And after, I think about 4 months, I knew a lad who I played at Halifax with, Peter Jackson. He was Lincoln manager at the time, not done any training. And he said, oh, do you want to come down next week and see how you are? I said, if you want to get into coaching, you can do the reserves, blah, blah, blah. So I said, yeah, I'll come down. Went for a few runs. Still half reasonably fit. Went for a few runs, and they said, oh, come in Monday and Tuesday. We're doing a fitness session. See how you do. Smashed it.
Yeah.
I thought, I went to Jacko. I called her. I said, have they been training all year? I said, they ain't fit. He went, what do you mean? He said, well, just be half of them. So they're all young lads. They're all 22, 23-year-old. He said, oh, no, that's what they're like, innit? And I said, yeah. So I signed. Did all right. Did no brilliant. Couldn't really get back into it. And then I just said to Jacko, I said, we had an agreement, so I'm going to leave, mate. I said, I'm going to pack in. And then went home, and then I got a call from Mickey Adams. I said, oh, are you still playing? I said, not really. I said, I packed in at Lincoln. He said, well, player assistant manager, it's not a lot of money. Come and see me. And tried doing that, and did all right. I found it hard not being in the changing rooms around the lads. I found it really, really hard. My first day, Mickey said, oh, come in at blah, blah time. Got in at like half eight. Instead of going into the manager's office where they got changed, I went straight in the changing room from that. Anyway, what are you doing here? In here? And I got a bollocking straight away. He said, you're not a player now. Even though you're player assistant, he said, you're management, not player. And I found it hard. I started doing my badges and all that, and I didn't enjoy it. And I was doing the reserves and saying to kids, listen, do this, do that. And they're looking at me going, well, and I just, the old school come out of it. The old school where you could swear at them. Not swearing in a bad way, but like getting the best out of them. Come on, come. Because that's what my manager used to do to me, to get the best out of me. And that's all I knew, not, come on, will you please do this? Can you do this? Can you? That wasn't me. And I just said to Mickey, I'm gonna leave end of season. And he said, well, if you come out of football, you'll struggle to get back in, mate. And I said, yeah, I know. So I just fell out of love with it, mate. Fell out of love with it, so.
But so the game's changed, hasn't it? Where you can't
just so much. Yeah, it's changed. Has it changed for good? Has it changed for bad? For me to watch it, I think it's changed for the worse, because I watch football, I just think, can he clatter him? Can he go through him? And all.
That's exactly, isn't it? From the game.
You can't do it now. And
the game the week.
We all love a worldy goal, a Cruyff, and in the top corner. Everybody loves that. But supporters and troop supporters love a 50-50 where you're going through and they both get up, shake hands, tap themselves on the head and all that, walk off.
Yeah.
It lifts the game. Grange used to do it. Going back to Grange, mine or Connor used to do it. If the game weren't going well for us, you could see, are you going to do it? Or shall I do it? Shall I do it? Shall I go up with my elbow? Or shall I rag him? That's how it was.
On charity. The cry of jelly.
Gets the crowd going and then puts us on a different level.
Yeah.
It's gone. That's gone.
Well, it's funny, Grange was saying that him and O'Connor used to have a little running battle who could get Muscat first.
Oh, God, he were horrible. Yeah, he were horrible, Muscat. Yeah, he were an horrible man. Yeah, Grange did. I know Grange did him a couple of times, didn't he? He were a naughty bloke, him.
So what does the future hold for you now? So,
well, I don't do that. I've got my houses. We're a house, people with mental health issues, so the drug addiction, alcohol addiction. So I just do all the houses and do things like that. So I do, like, the podcast. I do things for charity, the cancer stuff. And if anybody asks me, I'm a yes man. I'll do anything for anybody. And if I can put things back and I can help people, I will, mate. So it's all good. It's all good.
So when kind of finally when kind of the Blues fans stop you in the street, what's the, is it the Villa thing? Is it the...
Yeah, I think it is. I think how for Blues fans, I think it's scoring the goals against the Villa, home and away, keeping a clean sheet. They love that. They absolutely adore that. They're going to want that. I'm just hoping tonight we get them home. I really do. I don't think it's going to happen.
You know it's going to be Blackburn away.
It'll be something like that when it were... It'll not be a good draw, but I'm hoping it's the Villa game. I really am.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. That's
well, thanks a lot for your time.
No problem, man.
An absolute pleasure.
Oh, pleasure.